The reading is on page 1068. It's John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. Page 1068. Jesus heals the official's son. After the 2 days he left for Galilee, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus replied, "You may go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "The fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So you're a Christian this morning, are you? You're going to heaven. You believe that, do you? Have you seen heaven? How do you know it exists? Let us pray as we open God's word together. Father God, as we open the Bible, we pray that you will open our understanding, open our minds, open our ears, but above all, open our hearts that we may love you more for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, now, to appreciate John's gospel, we need to remind ourselves yet again why he wrote it. Now, I know that we've been saying this several times, and I'm going to say it yet again, and I make no apology whatsoever for that. There it is on the screen for you. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. In other words, John has been selective. But these are written, and there are three things that he wants to point out, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I can never persuade this to work, but never mind. Can you move it on for me? Thank you. There you are. There's the three things. The revelation that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God. That's the revelation that John wants us to understand, to appreciate, and the response he wants his readers to take is to believe that Jesus is the Messiah and the Son of God, and the result of that response is life. Now, we need to unpack all those, of course. But first of all, let's understand that John reveals the evidence that shows beyond doubt who Jesus is. He's the long-promised Messiah. That's what Christ means. And he is the Son of God. Now, let's take the Messiah bit first. The Old Testament is full of prophecies that tell us that God will send a Messiah, a Messiah to fulfill his plan of salvation, universal salvation. Well, now, what John is saying is that this Messiah has now arrived in the man Jesus. But contrary to Old Testament expectation, the long-promised Messiah is not just a man. He is God and man in one. Well, the Jews had a very clear idea as to who the Messiah was, but the idea that God would somehow squeeze himself into a human body, well, it just didn't occur to them, and nor could it have done. There was, of course, a very good reason why God chose this unique way of bringing salvation to the world. You see, he decreed right at the beginning of the Bible that the penalty for sin is death. Now then, he also decided that he himself, God, would bear the penalty for human sin. There's only one problem with that, and that is that God cannot die. There are several things God cannot do. I don't know if you ever thought about that. But one of the things is he cannot die. Unless, of course, he takes on human flesh and dies a human death. And that was the genius of God's salvation plan. Believing in Jesus means trusting that he bore my penalty for my sin, which allows me to escape the wrath of God. Well, now this morning, we're going to meet an official whose son is dying. This story is carefully positioned in John's Gospel, and we are encouraged to think about it as a journey of faith, that is. And also, we will discover how that journey of faith will end. Now, let's try again. The journey of faith, then. Life. Life, then, as we said, is the result of the right response of faith to the revelation of who Jesus is. John has told us several things already about the life that Jesus came to bring. You remember that when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." In other words, this life that Jesus came to give, clearly a spiritual life, not a physical life, this life has a definite beginning. You must be born again. The word again, by the way, could be translated above, from above. And Jesus, in John the Baptist, in talking about Jesus in the chapter 3, I think it is, he says, "He who came from above." In other words, this is a birth that in which Jesus is very much involved. But Jesus says, "You must be born again." In other words, this life has a definite beginning. Being born is a pretty definite event. I think most of us would agree with that. And I don't suppose too many of us can actually remember our own physical birth. But nonetheless, and I think we recognize also that many of us perhaps don't recognize or remember the day when we became Christians. But nonetheless, I think we can see that there was a time when we were not God's people, and there is a time when we became God's children. So what John is teaching through Nicodemus is that our spiritual lives have a definite beginning. And next we met last week the woman of Samaria. And through her discussion with our Lord Jesus Christ, we discover that there are certain characteristics to this life which Jesus brings. You remember the woman of Samaria had led a very unsatisfactory life. She'd had five unsatisfactorily unsatisfactory relationships. And what Jesus said is to her that he could give her living water, water of life. And this water would bubble up within her, if you remember. In other words, it would be forever deeply satisfying. But not only is this life deeply satisfying, it is a life without end. It is not ended by death. It is an eternal life. And finally, as you remember, the woman of Samaria went back to her town and encouraged people to come and meet Jesus. It is a fulfilling life. So it has a definite beginning. It is a satisfying life. It is an eternal life. And it is a fulfilling life. But what John hasn't yet fully explored with us in his writing is how do you access this life? And that's where our official comes in very handy. Well, we meet him rushing around Cana in Galilee, trying to find Jesus. He spots a crowd and elbows his way rather rudely, I'm sorry to say, through it. And he says, "Jesus, Jesus, I'm sorry to interrupt you." Poor man's breathless, as you can well understand. "My son, he's on the point of dying. Please, 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 will you come with me to Capernaum, where I live, and put your hands on him and make him well?" Jesus looks at him and then at the crowd, and he calmly says this: "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. You need to see with your own eyes the evidence of a miracle before you believe in me. Now, if I were to go to Capernaum with this official, and if you all came with me, you would see with your own eyes the evidence of the healing, then would you believe? But what if I don't go to Capernaum? Suppose I heal this boy with just a word. You will not believe it's happened, will you? Because you can't see it. Oh, please, Lord, come. Sorry, the official is obviously desperate. Let's not talk theology. Just come with me, please. I have a spare donkey for you to ride. We must hurry. For I know my son, for all I know, he might be dead already. My dear man, you misunderstand me. Your son will live. I don't need to come with you to Capernaum. You go on and see." Now's the crunch, isn't it? This man has to take a journey of faith, resting purely on the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the official leaves the crowd, we have a brief chat with him. Apparently he comes from Capernaum, some 16 miles away or so. He'd obviously heard that Jesus healed people. He must have done that. The trouble was, you see, he discovered that Jesus was down south in Judea. Well, at last, our official hears that Jesus has come north into Cana, and he decides to go. Now, that was a decision and a half. Can you imagine? Would you leave your child when he needed his daddy most? Would you leave your wife when she needed her husband most? But to be fair, if you don't go, there's no hope. If he does go, well, who knows? He decides to go. He rushes the 16 miles to Cana. And notice, if you will, please, from the passage, do keep it open, 1068, how John fills in the detail of the deepening belief of the official. Three times he mentions the word belief or believe. On this journey, then, this official of ours has to take on board purely the word of Jesus. But we notice, interestingly, that he doesn't head straight home. We know it's about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, that's from verse 52. Did he have time to travel the 16 miles back home before nightfall? Probably yes. But whether he was too exhausted to try or whether his poor donkey had had enough, we don't know. But what we do know is that he booked into the Premier Inn for the night. Is this a further sign of his deepening trust in the word of Jesus? Probably is. If you're a Christian this morning, you too are on a journey, are you not? A journey of faith. You too, like our official, are trusting in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, are you not? Oh yes, you'll no doubt, as you look back over your Christian faith, your interest will have been excited in Jesus. You'll have heard of him, no doubt. And then, just like our official, you would have had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And you're now on your journey of faith, your journey to heaven. But as we said right at the beginning, you've never seen heaven. You, like our official, are trusting on the word of Jesus. But is that, then, a leap in the dark? When my wife, Daphne, tells me something has happened, I trust her. Of course I do. If she says, John, you look a right mess, I know what you're thinking. But there are times when I do not look a mess, I promise you. And I trust every word she says. Why? Because I know her. My Daphne does not tell me fibs. And when we take the word of Jesus as truth, it is because we know whom we are trusting. We have explored the revelation that John makes of Jesus, who he is, and we are beginning to develop our faith, the appropriate response into that revelation. And we are looking forward to a life eternally with him. Well, now, our official also had limited information about Jesus, but he responded in faith to what he did know of Jesus, that limited revelation. And he, and indeed we, will observe the result of that deepening belief. But please, if I may, point out something to you. I'd like you to spot the order of things. The man believes in what he knows of Jesus, and the evidence of his trust, that his trust is well placed, does not precede his belief, but follows it. The evidence follows the belief. Well, now, what we need to explore is whether or not his faith is well supported. The next day dawns, and our official books out of the Premier Inn. And as he nears his home, his servants rush out to meet him. They look excited. They're thrilled to bits. Jimmy is well. I don't know if his name's Jimmy, but that'll do, won't it? They look excited. They're thrilled to bits. But our official, we notice, wants more information. When? What time did this change occur? Yesterday at 1 o'clock, the fever left him, they say. The official knows very well that that was the very moment that he trusted the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Except it wasn't. That's not what the text says. Look at verse 53. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." It was the moment of the word of Jesus. Well, he rushes home, of course he does. And there is Jimmy charging around the yard, full of life and mischief, doing all the things that the little boy should do. And we read for the third time that our official believed. His faith had matured, you see. But now he could see with his own eyes the evidence of his belief, the evidence that he was right to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. And we read that his whole family believed too. Well, Jesus had healed this little boy from some 16 miles away. The crowd didn't see it. We'll have to leave them. Whether they believed or not, of course, we'd never know. But the official did. And Jesus teaches that life, the life that Jesus came to give, begins as we trust his word, as we believe he truly is God in human form, who died a human death to pay the penalty for human sin. Well, that's how our journey of faith begins. But how does it end? It ends, as our story tells us, in life. As we read on in John's Gospel, we come to chapter 11. And there we find ourselves in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's a home in Bethany near Jerusalem. The home is in utter chaos because Lazarus is ill, very seriously ill. A message is sent to Jesus by email, no doubt. And we follow the message and we find Jesus and he receives the message and he doesn't move. But of course, we've read John chapter 4, so it doesn't matter that he doesn't move. Of course, he can heal from a distance. That's no problem. Except on this occasion, he doesn't. Now, the cynic would say, there you are, you see. Yet another inconsistency in your Bible. Well, we invite our cynic to take a seat and we explore the matter just a little further. Is Jesus teaching something different here, we ask ourselves. You see, the message from John chapter 4 was that the journey of life, of our spiritual lives, the journey of faith, begins when we take the word of Jesus to heart and trust it. But now Jesus is very near the end of his ministry. And he has something else that he must teach his people. He left his disciples with a very clear message that one day he would physically return and the dead in Christ would rise. A very different message and a very important one at this stage in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it not? You remember, when he ascended to heaven after his death and resurrection, the angels said to the disciples then, just as you've seen him go, so you will see him return. And when he returns, the dead in Christ shall rise. So the journey of faith arrives at its destination. The message that Jesus teaches through the official is that to access the life that Jesus wants us to enjoy, we have to trust his word. The message that Jesus teaches through Lazarus is that he will one day return in person. And when he does, our journey of faith, resting as it does on the word of Jesus, will come to a glorious end, or is it just the beginning? And then, you and I, if we're Christian people, will see him with our own eyes. What a glorious thought. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your precious word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can trust the word of the Lord Jesus Christ for life, for eternal life. And we look forward, Lord, to the time when you step back as a physical being onto our earth to take us all home, we pray. Amen.